Today, you may notice that we have some new voices and some other voices are missing. Leanne and Adele have moved on to other pursuits, and we are grateful for the time we got to spend with them.
Our new voices are those of Matt and Rebecca, the newest members of the CCC. We're very glad to welcome them to the team, and we look forward to new adventures together.
Welcome to the Conversation Changers podcast. I'm Rebecca. The company of Conversation Changers are a group of people who know what it's like to live in poverty in the midst of Canada's many privileges. The stories you'll hear come from Bridges Peterborough. In today's episode, we speak to the mental health benefits of being part of a bridging team.
So Matt, how has being in a bridging team benefited you and your mental health?
It's actually kind of hard to articulate exactly what about being on the bridging team has been beneficial for mental health. It definitely has been. It's been better and worse at times when I've been on this team. But I think the times that are good are because of the people who are on the team. And the times that are bad is because things I would normally push down or not talk about are right there on the surface because I'm taking a lot more time to reflect about myself and know myself a little bit better than I normally would. I think the specific thing about this bridging team environment that's been good for my mental health is that this is a group of people you can come in and you can talk about anything and be real with what's going on in your life. It doesn't have to be edited. It doesn't have to be trying to spare the other people's feelings. I've had a lot of conversations with people about mental health that have led into some sort of, oh no, poor you. Or that sounds awful. That must be the worst. I can imagine a time where I've been like that. And that doesn't happen here. You just kind of, I mean, sometimes with the check-ins, I've found this myself where we'll check in and some people will just say some just very heavy stuff and everybody in the group is just like, yep, like we're here, we support you, we get it, we've been there. And there's no, you don't have to try to make someone else feel better when you're trying to get support yourself. And that is a really good feeling. You can focus on improving your mental health and what's going on with you and not having to be worried about the rest of the world and what people will think if you disclose what's going on or if you talk about a diagnosis, or nobody tries to doctor you. Or I've come in here and said, you know, hey, I think I might be needing to get a diagnosis because these things have been going on with me. And people just go, well, you know you best. And they support you with that. And I've gotten help, but never pushy. Just, hey, here's what works for me. Maybe you could try this if you're interested. And that's been a really good experience. I think that's all I have to say about mental health and the bridging team.
Thanks, Matt. I was thinking the other day about things like that myself. I was thinking about how cool it is to have this group of people in my life that just, it's very close to therapy. You know, I can go there and be real and express as much of myself as I feel like expressing right then. There's no social constraints in terms of like, we don't do that here. You know, we don't have any of those, we don't do that here type things, which is really nice. And as you guys know, I deal with these, I'm calling them memory bombs lately, because that's kind of how they feel. And I know that the reason it feels spiritually like the right time for me to deal with those is because I have the support of people who know and understand me and accept me, which, you know, it's a pretty rare thing in life. It's been a very rare thing in my life. So knowing that I can just be whoever I am and there's not going to be any judgment attached to it. There's never going to be any, there's no price to be paid for letting who you are show. You know, there's not going to be anyone taking advantage of you because they know where your soft spots are. There's none of that. There's no agendas and there's no game playing, which as an autistic person are completely baffling to me in social environments. I don't get it. And I'm often, you know, perhaps taken advantage of because of the fact that things just go by me. But it's really it's a safe place. You know, it's safe for me spiritually. I never come away from a bridging team meeting feeling that my needs have not been met, basically. And the very satisfying part is that as I am there having my needs met, I am meeting other people's needs by just being there, you know? So I really find it a very nice kind of symbiotic use of my energy. I think it, and I always, you know, being part of a bridging team helps me regularly reflect on where I am and what I'm doing, which was not a regular habit of mine. And it's a very helpful thing to take a look at your big picture every now and then and say, okay, so this is where I want to go and this is where I am now. And these are the benefits of my new plan. And it's nice to be able to share new plans and good news and with people who are genuinely supportive. There have been times in my life when, you know, I've had some good news and the people I have been able to share it with, I've just been like, oh, sure, fine. It's good for you. Thanks for sharing my joy. Or, you know, there have been long times in my life when I've kept the company of people who were anything but supportive. And I know how toxic that felt. I know how stagnant my life was. And really, things have done nothing but grow since I started to attend and become a member of a bridging team. So I think it's a beautiful experience. And that's all I want to say.
So I have a pretty severe case of bipolar disorder, and I've suffered with that since I was 13 years old. It left me unable to work for most of my adult life. And when I came into bridging, I was on about 5 different heavy duty psych meds at the time for that. And, you know, I came in and I felt pretty hopeless about my life and my situation and my ability to improve upon myself or improve upon my life circumstances. I just didn't really feel like I had a way out. And I didn't really have any social connections, very, very few, when I came into bridging. And it was pretty much just alone, trying to tackle my own issues by myself and struggling really, really, really badly trying to get through that. So the main thing that the bridging team has brought me is social connections with people who, you know, aren't living in the exact same circumstances as me with like severe mental health or severe addiction or like they're more complex people, I guess. And so they kind of supported me and believed in me until I could believe in myself. And that really helped because, yeah, I had very low self-esteem when I came in. And even though I had made some good changes in my life, I still didn't really give myself credit for that. And just having those connections and having people who believed in me and told me like what I could do, what's possible, and maybe gave me some guidance on how to do that. Like I started making more changes and they had just added up and kind of got out of the whole like tyranny of the moment situation and started being able to make more long-term goals and start achieving those goals. And one of my main goals in the last like 6 months has been, because my mental health has improved so much as a result, I'm coming off my medications. So I've been working towards that. And like I never considered myself able to stop my medications. I thought I'd be on them for the rest of my life. And so just the opportunity to get off them and try to manage my own feelings is really huge. So I'm really grateful.
Thanks, Rebecca. So yeah, when I started the bridging team long, long ago, I was in a place where I was always pretty much by myself. I didn't want people around, really, because I had it in my head that no one would try to help me. And, you know, because I had people saying to me that you should be doing this, and, you know, all you do is sit around and do nothing. And for me, that's almost like daring me to prove them right. And that's something that I have had a problem with. If people keep telling me something over and over again, I kind of start following what people are telling me. So I was really, and, you know, because I didn't think I could do any better or should do any better or whatever. But when I came to the first bridging team, it took me a couple of weeks to actually realize that people weren't going to tell me what I should do. And it threw me off for a while, that people were saying, well, what do you think? And when people first say that to you after not, you know, dealing with that for so long, it was like, well, I really don't know what I think. I haven't thought for a while. So, and it was kind of a stressful turnover, but I think that it made me think, this is the greatest thing that ever happened, because I wanted so much to tell people, but I never ever thought anybody was interested, because I've had people brush me off. You know, it's like, okay, well, I feel like this, and, you know, this has happened, so I feel like this about it. It's like, your problems do not interest me whatsoever, so.
Or at least maybe that's how I saw it back then.
But yeah, the first time I started to realize that, just things started to progress and my life got better, and it was incredible. And that's why I've decided to hang around and try. And it's happened. The reason why I stuck around is because I wanted to see if what happened to me can happen to other people. And in the second bridging team, I seen that it did happen for a couple of people, which is amazing. And I like to believe that I was helpful in that, in seeing that happen. So yeah, and I'm starting to see some of it in the third bridging team, which is amazing even more. So I'm really happy that this is going the way it's going. And I still have my struggles with thinking that people want to hear about my stuff, but, you know, it's more like, well, you know what, I'll tell you, and if you don't want to hear it, okay, and if you do, well, good.
So, Laura, do you have a quote for us today?
I do, Todd. It's from Jack Kornfield, who said, all of spiritual practice is a matter of relationship to ourselves, to others, to life situations.
Yeah, so what we thought we'd do now is we'd ask each other questions about what we heard from each other's stories. Laura, do you want to get us started?
I would be interested in knowing what kind of progress Matt felt that the check-ins gave him.
As far as the check-ins for making progress, I think it's a time to formally think about, like, how am I doing? It's not something I think about all the time. Sometimes I get really caught up in whatever's going on in my life. Like we're talking about the tyranny of the moment, and it's just keep going, doing stuff. Sometimes I find that a couple days has passed without me thinking of, you know, how am I right now? And taking that time to check in is just answering that question, even for yourself, not just about sharing with everyone else, but to actually take the time to answer that for yourself, because I don't know if that's a thing with everybody, but sometimes I don't know until I've been asked how I'm doing right now.
Thanks, Matt.
Todd, do you want to answer a question?
Sure, yeah.
When you were talking, you talked about other people's expectations of you and how you sometimes felt like you just wanted to meet their expectations of you, even if they were, you know, negative expectations. And I kind of just wanted to know what you think about just that in general of what effect people's expectations, especially if they think that you're going to fail, might have on someone's success.
I don't have physical proof, or it's just from my opinion and what I've seen, is that I was a pretty smart kid when I was in the lower grades of school. And as I got older, I found school to be not challenging enough. And so I kind of was zoning out. And in grade 7, I got a failing grade in my first class. And he said I wasn't very smart. So I was thinking, well, yeah, I am kind of smart. So, but his words kind of started to bore into my brain. And I think I started believing that I wasn't smart. And I think I found it was easier to live up to that than to try and prove him wrong. You know, when you get negative comments, I think a lot of people, when they give you negative comments, they want you to prove them wrong. And, you know, if that's someone that gives a crap about you. But I wasn't that type to try and prove people wrong. I was more of the type that said, you know, are they right? And then I started believing that they were right because my dad had mentioned it on more than one occasion. So I probably was thinking, oh, well, maybe if they see it, maybe it's something that I'm not seeing. So, and as the snowball progressed, I failed more classes until my last semester in school. I was failing all four of my classes and I just quit. And that's because I didn't think I could handle it. I was thinking, I can't do it. And that's the reason why I quit. Anyways, yeah, that's an interesting question. And, you know, if I want to bring it back to the bridging team, it's having someone give you positive feedback and then you wanting to live up to that. See, I guess that's my problem, is I like to live up to people's expectations. And if I have, you know, negative things, it seems like that's what I lived up to. But in the bridging team, it's always been positive. They're always being supportive, and it's easy to follow your heart for that and, you know, live up to those type of expectations. So, yeah, I'll ask something of Rebecca. One thing that I found with your story is that you weren't expecting to get off your pills. Did you find that challenging in the fact that you were able to do that a lot easier than you thought?
I mean, it hasn't been easy. I didn't really realize
we'll say less challenging. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, just the thought that I was on them for so long, and, you know, they caused some pretty bad side effects. Like, I contribute the large amount of my weight gain was to my medications, and I gained about 150 pounds from them. So that had a huge impact on my life, like severely negatively impacted my life and my mental health, to be honest. So coming off of them, I mean, I guess I was not ready before. I wasn't stable enough to do it. And so I think that's why I stayed on them for so long. But I guess I would say I was stable for about 2 years before I even started tapering off them. So, I mean, I could have come off them earlier, I'm sure. And there are side effects. My one medication actually really affects my kidneys, and I have decreased kidney function because of my medication. And that's something I have to like follow up with a specialist about every 6 months. And they're like, this medication, if you stay on it for the rest of your life, or even for 10 years, which is pretty much almost the amount of time I've been on it, can cause kidney failure and you need a kidney transplant. So that was a big motivating factor for me to get off at least that medication. And then I figured if I could get off that one, I might as well get off the rest. And like I said, it hasn't been easy because I didn't realize, but I was numb for like 10 years with all these medications and I didn't feel things. And so when I started decreasing them, I had so many emotions come up that I had not felt in so long. And coping with those was hard. I had a couple really rough weeks, and I came to Bridges and shared at the check-ins that I was not doing well. And I got like tons of support. Like, someone gave me a hug and people were just talking to me and saying that I could call them whenever. And like, it was so supportive. And I think that like I said, I wasn't ready before and I didn't have the support before. So, I mean, yeah, I guess I could have come off them sooner, but I'm glad I'm doing it now at least. So, yeah, thanks.
I want to apologize. I didn't mean that it was easy to come off. That was probably the wrong choice of words for that. I meant that you were actually able to do it without a whole lot of problem, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was relatively easy compared to what I anticipated it would be or has been so far. I'm still weaning down off them, but it has been a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. Like, I just realistically thought I was going to be on those medications for the rest of my life, and I did not have any other options. And that even with the medications, I would probably have a very poor quality of life. So, I mean, I'm pretty lucky. Yeah, I'd like to ask Laura.
Okay.
So you talked about the symbiotic relationships and bridges, and that even just by being there, you are giving back to other people. So how did that impact your self-worth, just knowing that you were giving back to so many people?
It was pretty huge, actually, because I had, you know, I've been through my life with really poor self-esteem. And when you don't think you have anything of value to offer, you feel valueless, right? It's just it's kind of axiomatic. So sitting and talking with people who really heard me was really a key factor. And like, this is my voice and it's being heard by people who aren't living the same shitty life I'm living, you know. It lends a kind of, I suppose it's almost sad to say, but being heard and recognized as a person of value by someone outside your immediate circle or your economic circumstance, it gives you a kind of a jolt in terms of your perspective on yourself. It really helped me grow in terms of how I valued myself and how I looked at myself, that I had people in my life that I mattered to and that mattered to me, and that they were positive people. Living as an addict for 20 years, I really had like no positive people in my life. And I would say like 99% of the people in my life were fellow addicts in one form or another. So often in that kind of situation, when you try to move yourself up, what you get is no, stay down here with us. So it was really, I don't know, there's just not really enough good words to describe how it feels to be part of something that's nurturing and unqualified, really, because you go in there with your own expectations of where you would like to go with your own life. And you don't get, oh, no, that won't work, or, oh, we don't have a program for that, or I'm sorry, that's not covered. You get, oh, really? Okay, well, I know someone who has this and we could talk to them about that. And, oh, I know someone who's heard about this and would like to do that for you. And it's just like the energy kind of, it starts to increase and then it just gets exponential. It's been something that really has provided a lot of solidity to my life. You know, my life has a really good base now, and wherever I go from here, this is always my starting point. You know, being in a place with people who accept and value me for who I am and who hear my voice. So I am. Thanks for the question.
So Laura, do you have a quote for us today?
I do, Todd. It's from Jack Kornfield, who said, "All of spiritual practice is a matter of relationship to ourselves, to others, to life situations."
Thanks, Laura, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Matt. This podcast was brought to you by the generous support of the Ontario Trillium Foundation, the people of Greenwood United Church, and the entire United Church of Canada, the City of Peterborough, One City, and many individual sponsors, people like you who want to change the conversation. Our team for this podcast was Laura, Greg, Todd, Rebecca, and myself.